Florida A&M University has announced changes to some of its degree programs. The move follows a review of all public universities in Florida. The changes aren't just happening at FAMU, and there are concerns that these programs are being cut as the state has eliminated the ability of public institutions to fund programs related to diversity, equity, and inclusion. Gina Jordan brings a variety of voices to this discussion.
Florida A&M University has announced changes to some degree programs. 7 degrees will be consolidated, 1 will be restructured. There is great controversy surrounding this. So I asked Jalen Scott to join us, intern extraordinaire.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being here, Jalen. So this is your second semester interning with us.
Correct.
You're a FAMU student. Tell us about your major and your plans.
I'm a third-year journalism scholar from Tampa, Florida. I'm also the sports director for WANM FM 90.5, which is our campus radio station, and I'm an MMJ for TV20, our campus news station.
MMJ, multimedia journalist.
Yes.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay. Well, we're very glad to have you here. Your major is not impacted by these changes, right?
Not necessarily. I think there will be some retroactive changes, especially within the kind of changing from the fine arts program into what they want to push as like a digital media. So a lot of the transition is trying to get students to be kind of in the now when it comes to the job market, and a lot of them are switching to AI. So with low enrollment within the fine arts program, not to say that it's not important, I think from the university standpoint, they're trying to tailor those same kind of art skills into a digital landscaping. So that would, you know, dissolve the fine arts solo program and influx them into SJGC, which is the School of Journalism and Graphic Communications, our graphic design department, even though I feel as if the two majors may be a little different.
Yeah, it sounds like it. As far as you know, are any classes going away, or is this really just a restructuring of everything?
From my understanding, it is a restructuring. A lot of the professors within these different colleges, I won't say that there are going to be any layoffs. I would hope not. I know, again, the major concern for students isn't as much as, oh, man, we're not going to be able to take this professor's class anymore, or we're not going to have as many credit hours as, you know, readily available, is that there wasn't really kind of a heads up. We're learning about this as much on the fly as the public is.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. So we talked about the fine arts program. There are other programs that are going to be consolidated. Those include environmental studies, electronic engineering technology, philosophy and religion, and the biggie that really got everyone's attention, African-American studies.
Absolutely.
Now, this is important given that FAMU is consistently one of the highest ranked HBCUs in America, historically black colleges and universities. So what kind of concerns have you heard around campus about that?
Truly, it's the fear that there isn't, you know, transparency between the Board of Trustees, higher education, and students. Obviously, when students see a headline like this, it makes you wonder, you know, as an HBCU, we pride ourselves in teaching history, of course, across the board, but you get a bit of history that isn't readily available at different schools, especially when it comes to African-American history. I can speak for myself when I've learned things that, you know, weren't readily available in high school textbooks. And it was a focus within these majors because that was something that they wanted to continue from previous alumni to current professors to students now, and keeping kind of that sacred bond of you're learning information about yourself that isn't readily available in the public is what kind of draws the allure of students to HBCUs in the first place. And when you have headlines like these, especially with the, you know, political climate that's going on in the state of Florida, where, you know, issues with DEI or the inability to say, you know, black or African-American on certain things, it feels as if the university isn't keeping the students' best interests at heart for what their reasons for coming to an HBCU were.
State lawmakers have eliminated the ability of public colleges and universities to fund programs related to diversity,
Absolutely.
Equity, inclusion. And there were, you alluded to this, a lot of concerns about how this was done. Many people heard about it after the vote, had no idea this was coming. And you talked about this with one of your fellow students who is leading protests against these changes.
Yes. I got a chance to talk to Justin Jordan. He is the president of the FAMU chapter of Students for a Democratic Society. He was able to talk to me about the lack of transparency when it came to the information that was handed down from higher education to students and their Board of Trustees meeting. They were hoping to sit in and get public comment there, but the time was moved up. And again, that kind of speaks to their concerns, the lack of transparency.
So Students for a Democratic Society, this is a student activist group. They're focused on grassroots organizing, and they fight for injustice and oppression, that sort of thing.
Correct. This is a national organization. There are different chapters throughout the state of Florida and nationally.
Okay, so you spoke with Justin Jordan of the FAMU SDS. Let's listen to some of that interview.
Justin, in terms of what's been going on with consolidation, maybe not a lot of people know about, you know, what majors are being consolidated and what the big fuss is for people on campus. So can you provide a little bit of insight as to what's been going on with that, whether that's just the lack of transparency or the fact that it's happening?
Yeah, so basically, this is kind of an interesting scenario, right? Because this consolidation has kind of been an ongoing thing in the background for quite a while now. The documents that we found when we released our statement were actually made in December, I believe. So this is something that's been going on kind of behind the scenes that we really weren't privy to as a student body. And I really was disappointed with that. But I think an important thing for people to realize is that it's not just African-American history. Of course, that's an extremely important part of why we're protesting this. But it's also programs like fine arts that are being replaced and shaped into a more AI-focused degree. And it's kind of just the devaluation of the humanities as a whole and the devaluation of the arts as a whole that also concerns me, as well as the devaluation of African-American history.
Is there a concern for the student body that they won't just stop there?
That's our concern. And it's kind of been a concern that we've heard as well from a lot of other students, right? We're being told, especially about African-American history, that it's just, oh, they're just putting history, African-American studies, and I believe it was philosophy. They're just putting all those together. That's all. But I think when you look at it, not only on our school's level, but what's been going on around the country, in Texas, you know, a university also just consolidated a lot of its African-American history programs, like gender studies. Like, these programs are being cut in a way that is almost systemic. And it's interesting to see how our university is trying to paint this as an individualized decision or a decision based on the performance of this degree, when in all reality, it's something that's been going on around the country.
You kind of mentioned earlier some of those documents you were talking about. Can you, for the record, state what those documents were, especially from like the town hall? I have one of them up right now. It's from the Board of Trustees action item that was signed December 18th, 2025. And this was highlighted from FAMU SDS. The office and provost has conducted thorough review of the university's low productivity programs in accordance to the Board of Governors' minimum thresholds. Is there a concern that students feel like the standard for what is considered low productivity is subjective rather than actual data?
I have that concern personally, but I think it's also been something represented as well by other students. When we went into the Board of Trustees meeting, only a few of us were able to comment. We thought that the Board of Trustees meeting would be at 2:30, like at least, and we thought we were going to be early, right? So I get there at 1, I think like 1:10. As soon as I step in, there's like about 5 minutes before they go straight into the public comment. It's literally only three people, two of us being against the consolidation, one student being more in favor of the consolidation, but also speaking about their own concerns regarding the lack of transparency. It's something that we can all agree on, right? If you believe that these productivity measures are something that are so important, right? Mm-hmm. That they're actually, you know, having these like metrics that they're looking at every single degree program, right? Ultimately, we all know like this is sadly a business. Education has become a business in this country, but the value of our education should not be quantified by, you know, these metrics like productivity. I think the ultimate purpose of this university is excellence with caring, to allow students to gain a better depth of knowledge of the world around them. And one of the things a trustee said kind of really stuck with me. Another member of FAMU SDS pointed out this to me, and he was kind of like, you know, our students are our customers. And I feel like that almost sounds degrading. We're students of this institution. Like, we are literally this institution. Every single one of us, we contribute in some way, and we come here because we love this school, not because we're trying to get a quick buck or switch it around. You know what I mean? Like, ultimately, that's the goal for a lot of students, but we really are caring about our education, and it's disappointing to hear that.
Jalen, thank you for that chat with Justin Jordan of the FAMU chapter of Students for a Democratic Society.
Correct.
Now, I was on campus recently speaking to a class, and only a handful of those students had heard anything about the changes to these programs. Do you think word is finally getting around?
FAMU-SDS is trying to push the information out on social platforms. Of course, social media rules the college landscape. And as more people are starting to get eyes on this, you're beginning to hear more questions. And again, that speaks to the original main concern here is a lack of transparency. So even if there isn't any harm being done to these programs, whether they're just consolidating and they're not eliminating any jobs or not eliminating the actual material that's being taught, it's that the students aren't hearing about it and they are the ones that have to enroll in classes. One of the things that Justin mentioned in his interview was that an unnamed Board of Trustee member alluded to a university being a corporation. A lot of people aren't hoping to go to an HBCU, not necessarily to not make money, but to walk away with a deeper understanding of what it's like to be Black in America. A lot of people don't have these spaces growing up. A lot of people, my friends and colleagues, grew up in predominantly white spaces, and not to say that they didn't walk away with an education and an understanding of themselves. It's different when you see people that look like you in these same spaces, and you're learning your history as well. But a lot of what the university, in my opinion, is trying to do is secure as much funding as possible. Obviously, with what's going on in the political climate in the state of Florida, I understand these certain precautions being taken by the Board of Trustees, by our presidents. The only concern from students is that we feel like our voices are being unheard.
And when do you graduate?
Spring of next year, hopefully fall, depending on how this course load looks.
Very exciting. Well, Jalen, you've been a great intern for us. We're glad to have you back again. Jalen Scott, WFSU intern, FAMU student, and soon to be world-renowned journalist, I have no doubt.
That's the plan. Thank you so much for having me.
So FAMU did issue a statement that tries to allay concerns about the impact on African-American studies. A university spokesperson did not offer any further information about the changes to us, but did send us an email saying they want to reiterate that all impacted students will be able to complete their current degree programs. I spoke with FAMU's new president, Marva Johnson, late last year. She was appointed to the job amid a lot of pushback over her ties to Governor Ron DeSantis. But she was celebrating her first 100 days in office, and I asked her an assortment of questions, including some about DEI concerns. In this question, I asked about the major balancing act of navigating expectations of state leaders, expectations of the University System Board of Governors, and of students and faculty who expect academic freedom at FAMU.
The biggest opportunity for me in navigating all those things is to listen first and not presume anything. That is the beauty of being new. I still get to listen. And as a leader, I've always been a collaborative leader. I believe that the truth unchallenged is stagnant. Iron sharpens iron. So in most instances, I feel that I get to make a decision as the leader, but my decision is going to be stronger when it's well informed. So I love to listen to other people. I love to hear diversity of thought, and I love the opportunity to challenge the status quo in order to move to the next level. So it is a balancing act, and some people may say I listen to too many people, but I don't think so. I think it's great, especially at the front end of this process, to be in listening mode and to act judiciously.
I also asked Marva Johnson where she stands on programs surrounding diversity, equity, and inclusion at state universities, and especially at FAMU, which, again, is a prominent HBCU.
I believe that coming from an industry that created a lot of diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, at the core of all of those programs was one simple truth. And this truth doesn't change no matter what you call it. And that is, diversity is its own business case. It has its own return on investment. You can see in our Fortune 100 companies, our Fortune 500 companies that actually invest in their workforce and invest in developing a workforce that is relevant to their market and relevant to their products and services perform better in the market. So for me, it is a conversation about what drives value and you do things that drive value for you.
So, given the consolidation of some degree programs at FAMU, including philosophy and religion and African American studies, we need to hear from the state about why certain programs don't hold that needed value. That's where Emily Sykes comes in. Sykes is Vice Chancellor for Academic and Student Affairs with the Board of Governors. And she explained all of this and all of these recommended changes to the House Careers and Workforce Subcommittee last November.
Our degree productivity review is a longstanding collaborative process between our board and the universities. And it's also embedded in one of our regulations. This is something that we've done every 3 to 4 years over the last 15 years or so to identify programs that are not producing as many graduates as in the past. So we did this first review in 2011, and this is the fourth review since then. So this year's review looked at the number of degrees awarded in each program in the system for over the past 3 years. We had established thresholds, so for bachelor's degree, we looked at programs that did not award 30 degrees or more over those 3 years. And then for master's and doctorate, we looked at the thresholds shown on the screen. As part of this review, we identified over 200 programs that were below the threshold. Some of these programs were also ones that had appeared on a prior review as well. At this point, we shared this information with the universities, and they looked at each individual program and its performance, and they provided an update, which I'll get to in just a minute, on each of those programs.
Yep, these changes are happening around the state. For example, a few years ago, FSU combined its College of Education with the College of Health and Human Sciences. FSU said the move was designed to increase collaboration in research. Sykes says the state's recommendations are just that, and universities can decide next steps.
So the universities reviewed the programs on the list and have reported that they plan to continue with at least 150 of these programs. 30 of them are those master's ones I was talking about, where they're tied specifically to a doctoral program. The universities are working to consolidate over 30 programs under a different discipline code. So an example of this when we say consolidation is we had a lot of programs in foreign languages that were in each individual foreign language. And because enrollment has been low in those programs, often the universities have decided to roll those up into a modern language program. And so all the languages are housed under the same program. This helps with resources, space. It helps with efficiency for the university. With this review, the universities have identified 18 programs to terminate and have identified 8 to suspend. So with the suspension, that means that they've identified they're going to stop enrolling students in the program, take a hard look at the program, and either decide to update the curriculum, revise the curriculum, or decide to terminate the program.
Sykes later answered questions from St. Petersburg Democratic Representative Michelle Rayner, which get to the heart of some of what the FAMU community is concerned about.
So from the board standpoint, we looked at the degrees awarded and identified a list of programs that were low producing. The universities then could use other information to make that determination. We did not tell the university to terminate the program. We just said these are the programs that are on the list for your university. Make a determination on kind of next steps of what you would like to do with those programs. So the universities may be using a variety of information to determine those next steps.
Representative Rayner, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And along with that, I know when they are determining or the board has made recommendations to determine what programs, you know, should be looked at for termination, I know that there has been a concern with the board. I don't have this concern, but there's been a concern with the board of areas of study that deal with diversity, equity, and inclusion. So my question now becomes the degree programs or the programming that have been terminated, are any of those programs under the what y'all would call diversity, equity, and inclusion?
You're recognized.
Thank you. So we did not look at, you know, how the university terminate, we can provide your office and the chair and committee staff the list of programs that universities identified that they were going to terminate. I'd have to go through that. I did not know that off the top of my head, so I apologize.
As state lawmakers have moved to end university-sponsored programs that relate to DEI, there are concerns that this is now impacting degree programs. So I checked with Ben Unglesby about this. He's a senior reporter with the media outlet Higher Ed Dive, which goes in depth into trends in higher education. He's based in Washington, D.C. Ben's reporting finds that this kind of review of degree programs in Florida is much like what's happening in other parts of the country.
And especially like just last year, we've seen other states take up similar measures for their public universities. So Ohio and Indiana have both recently passed laws that require their state universities to review their programs for certain graduate thresholds. So graduate a certain number of students within a certain number of years. And if you don't meet a minimum threshold, they look at potentially cutting those programs. And other states, I think, are adopting or at least considering similar measures.
Okay, so that is definitely happening in Florida. Now, if we're talking specifically about FAMU, this is an HBCU that's making changes to its African American Studies program, among other programs. Does your investigation suggest that any of the changes that you've seen at any university could be related to state-level efforts to get rid of DEI-related programs?
Well, it's interesting. So some of the bills that look at minimum graduation thresholds, those reviews are independent of, but they were in bills that also looked at DEI. And I think, you know, a lot of the programs that have sort of low graduate numbers are often, you know, in area studies or other kinds of like liberal arts that might include coursework, looking at race or, you know, looking at gender, like women's studies. So those, just in terms of numbers, can be the kinds of programs that fall below those thresholds. Elsewhere, we're seeing those programs get targeted, you know, in a more direct sort of political manner.
Gotcha. So state education leaders say that changes have been recommended, but it's up to the universities. And like you say, these are based on thresholds. If Florida universities are looking at thresholds, what does that mean? Like, they talk about low productivity degree programs. Can you explain that?
Yeah, it can mean a lot of different things in a lot of different places. A lot of them, they're looking at how many students have graduated from the program per year within a set amount of years, say 3 years or 5 years. And if you have a minimum threshold, or if you're below sort of the minimum number of graduates per year within that time frame, it could get flagged for cutting. More broadly, you know, we're looking at colleges across the country, private and public, are kind of evaluating their programs based on, like, you can call it productivity, you can call it efficiency. And there's a lot of different ways of doing that. But you're basically trying to answer the question of, like, what is the value of this program to my university? What is it in financial terms? What is it in terms of workforce needs or student demand? These are very difficult questions to answer, and they're not necessarily straightforward. Just trying to figure out what a program costs to operate, or how much revenue it brings in, that requires like a lot of data collection. And I know like this is sort of beyond the scope of the question, but if you're just looking at graduates, you can end up cutting programs that actually, even if they have low graduate levels or low enrollment levels, you can end up cutting programs that actually contribute financially to your school, even though they are relatively small. So if all you're doing is looking at one metric, that can be really problematic. That can be a case where you're cutting off your nose to spite your face. If you don't look at a sort of wide swath of data and do a really deep analysis, and also think about, like, what does the program contribute to your school, to your state, to your student body? There's a lot of questions. And if you only ask, you know, one question about one metric, your answer might not give you the full picture.
Well, that's an interesting observation. So, like, might you be talking about, say, there's a degree program that is below that threshold, but there are certain classes as part of that degree program that are very popular that students take, you know, regardless of their major.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a big question. And that's one of the ways that a program can still contribute, or potentially, you know, maybe it's an interdisciplinary program where your graduates are taking courses in a lot of other programs. So the program that they're majoring in might not cost you much money, but if you cut the program, then you lose those students because you don't have the program. They go to another school. Those are some of the reasons why schools would start that program to begin with. Like, hey, this isn't going to necessarily cost us anything, and we can attract maybe a few extra students that might have gone somewhere else because we didn't have this program for them. But then again, there are programs that maybe have lost their relevance with students, and those need to be sort of thought through. I mean, there's a lot of questions to ask. And if you're just asking one question and your solution is to cut that program based on the answer to one question or one metric, that's a pretty blunt instrument to use in your evaluation of a college's programs. A lot matters in not only like what the thresholds are, what the metrics are, but the process matters a lot. And it matters a lot to all the stakeholders on campus.
Yeah. Is there anything that you want to add based on your reporting about changes to degree programs?
It's happening in a lot of places, not just at public universities. You know, a lot of colleges are under budget pressure, and so they're looking at their programs. But it's a very complicated question to ask. What is the financial cost and benefit of a program? And the answers are not straightforward. And you can make decisions that have different ramifications than what you expected. So it's a process to undertake with a lot of thought and care and precision and consultation with all your stakeholders, I think.
All right, Ben Unglesby with the media outlet Higher Ed Dive. Thanks for your time and your reporting.
Thank you so much for having me.